Amen. Amen. Only the name of Jesus. Only the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I know many of you came in here today with burdens, right? Whatever happened in the week, whatever's been laying on your mind for the month, whatever's going on in the country, in the world. You come in with burdens and things that are holding you back. Now, we've talked about praise. Today I'm actually going to talk about praise and worship. There's a reason we have it. There's a reason we do it. And there's a reason you should be doing this at home. Okay, you don't have to have the benefit of a band. The Bible says make a joyful noise, right? And for many of us, that is exactly what we do. But you can shout to God. You can praise the Lord at home. You can shout in your car. Trust me, the number of people I drive by and see them, you don't know who's on Bluetooth or what, but boy, there's some people driving by themselves. They are having some serious interaction in their cars. Why can't you talk to God? Why can't you sing to God? Well, I don't sing out loud. That's the time to do it. You don't have to do it here. Trust me, I can hold certain octaves down here, but not every song you sing holds where I can sing. So when I get in the car or the truck and I'm driving down the road, got that thing cranked, that's the time to let go. Let go and let God. That's what it means. Let go of yourself and let God go before you. We're going to look at that today, but I'm just here to tell you, folks, if you praised the Lord, whatever it was you carried in, feel free to leave it. Amen. Don't pick it back up. Well, I got to face it still tomorrow morning. Yeah, leave it in God's hands. I'm telling you, I have had to learn to do this. When people bring problems and say, I hate to bring it, that's my job. But I need you to understand, I don't carry it. I don't carry your burdens. I take them off and I put them over here and I lay them at the feet of Jesus. And I say, Jesus, I can't carry this. You didn't make me to carry people's burdens. I can't carry my own. Trust me, you know what goes on half of my mind. You can ask my wife. By the way, I found somebody else who has those imaginary conversations. And it was amazing how much that person and I were alike. It's like, you have those too, huh? Oh, yeah, all the time. She's not crazy, so apparently I'm not crazy. Or maybe she is, I don't know. It just seems normal to me. All right, praise God. Anyhow, remember your prayer requests. If you got one, get them out. Pat will collect them. We've got a couple in here, I see. We're going to pray, folks. I'm telling you. You think the praying about the drug situation is not helping? I need you to understand. What day was it you left? Friday or Thursday? Friday? Friday evening, right off the corner of the driveway, there was a car pulled over and the drug dog was doing his job. Don't tell me. If the cops have to sit here and the dog goes, pull him in the parking lot. I don't care. We're doing something. We're making a bigger effect than what you can believe. And trust me, you got to believe. And there's still stuff happening. There's stuff we don't hear about until 2 weeks later. And you got a drug house down the road from your house? Start cursing it. Trust me, they'll leave. Start praying God's love and mercy into those people's lives. I watched a show last night, Blue Bloods, which I've come to like, but it's just one of those I don't watch all the time. But this one, the neighbor, if you've ever watched it, it's about police officers, and so far two generations have been police chiefs. And the retired one goes to his neighbor, and he's trying to help her with her granddaughter, who's an addict. And she was to be arrested, and all he had to do was call the police and press the charges, and she'd go to jail. He wouldn't do it. He's like, we can keep doing it. We can keep doing it. We can keep helping her. We just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And finally, she relented and wouldn't try to get her put in jail. But that night, she OD'd. And he came to the revelation that if I'd let her go to prison, she'd have got the help. But the grandmother looked at it a little differently. Well, I had one night. with my granddaughter clean for a little bit. And that's what she looked at. But I'm like, I don't want to look at just 1 hour, one night. I got a rest of my life. I'm not going to give up fighting. Just because you let somebody go to jail and do what's got to happen doesn't mean you quit. I didn't quit. It's just what's got to happen. Trust me, there's plenty of people around. Getting caught sometimes is mercy, right? I'm not trying to tell them, but they ask them. They'll tell you. It's what moved in their lives. And many of you are in the same boats. Getting caught helped. It helped you break a chain. Anyhow, we'll talk about some of that here in a little bit too. Let's bless the tithe and offering. And remember, prayer request, Pat. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for a beautiful day. We thank you for your mercies and your tender loving kindness, Father, that it is renewed each and every morning. Father, I pray for those today that are struggling. I pray that you strengthen them. Father, with today's message and the prayer that we will stand in for people, Lord God, I pray that they find the strength. And now, Lord, I bless this tithe and offering. Lord, I pray right now that you move heaven and earth to bring your will to pass in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. All right. Hallelujah. By the way, Joe, I'm going to tell your joke. I thought it was funny that everybody. Boy, didn't our guitar player look good today? Oh, yeah. And Miss Araya. Beautiful. Beautiful. So this truck driver's driving down the road and he sees this hitchhiker along the side of the road. He pulls over, hitchhiker climbs up. He says, "Man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you giving me a lift." And he says, "No problem." And he says, "You know, people just drove by me. He said, "And I get it." He said, "You know, they don't know that I'm not a serial killer." Truck driver looked at the passenger and he said, "Yeah, what are the odds there's two of us in this truck?" Bump, bump. All right. Oh, hallelujah. Is it warm in here? It is, really. I'm not complaining, though. Just saying. I'm not complaining. I'm not a cold weather guy. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I began talking to you this morning. I started talking last week about praise and worship, and it's as much a vital part as getting the Word of God. No matter what techniques we come up with, the best method for planting a seed is plowing the ground, working the ground a little bit. You got to get the seed in the ground. Our hearts are no different. You've got to plow a little bit. You know, they say that you've heard the term Judah plows. The term Judah means praise. That's what Judah is. Judah is praise. Judah, the son of Jacob, was known for being boisterous, being loud, and kind of obnoxious. That's what Judah was known for. And so the term Judah became synonymous with praise. Loud. You know, I like things loud. Now, you know, you can't be around loud concerts all the time. You can't be around loud cars and motorcycles and trucks all the time. But I tell you what, you want to get my blood flowing, turn up the volume. And there's just something that happens when we sing out. That's why I'm telling you, if you're in your car, who's hearing you? God. Who cares if you're off key? You sing the wrong words. I do it all the time. There's still words I have no idea what I'm really singing. But if we learn what it means and what the point of praising God is, it's more. Listen, God has creatures he created to stand around his throne for eternity to praise him. When we praise him, Not only does it glorify God, but you need to understand we were created in His image and His likeness. And when we praise Him, there's something that happens in us. We begin to open that up. We begin to release to God what is His, and God, in turn, gives us what is His. See, Lucifer fell because he quit giving God the glory. I'm the source of this light. I'm the source of all that it is. I can be God. Well, there's more to God than just directing things, right? Anybody that's ever gotten into been moved up from position to position in your job, you learn real quick, okay, I was the fry cook, but now I'm the manager. There's a whole lot more going on at this level than I ever knew. And you keep moving up. And you're like, oh, Lord, no wonder they were stressed out. No wonder they didn't listen to my ideas. There was more that went on behind the scenes than you ever knew. That's why I say, feel free to give our president some slack. Give him some mercy. There's stuff going on you don't know about. And just because some liberal decided to release it or made up stuff, let's just be realistic. If God didn't appoint for him to be there, he wouldn't be there. Which the same goes in hand with the previous 8 years. You understanding? I didn't vote for him, but it was appointed by God that he be in authority. There wasn't nothing we could stop. Did you know that? You couldn't stop it. His name Barak means blessed. It's Jewish. It's Hebrew. Which, by the way, it's also, thanks to Kate, she gave me this book. It's got all kinds of things in it. A lot of tiny graphs, though. I'm like, I got to have a magnifying glass. But this one, it shows a position of worship. And it's called Barak. It's the same word. It's down on your knees, lifting your hands. It's a submission. He's there because God appointed it. Trump is there because God appointed it. So whether you like it or not, suck it up, buttercup, and pray for him. That's all there is to it. If I had my way, we'd all just say, Jesus, come back now, please. We don't need any more presidents, no more kings, no more world dictators, nobody trying to overthrow the world. Please come back. But there's an appointed time for that. It's our job to stand here. It's our job to keep this place for Christ. That's our job. We do some of that by praising Him. God forbid any church ever take out praise and worship. There's many denominations, they try, and even non-denominational, that try to control the praise and worship down to a point to where it's very minimalistic. I know one particular church denomination, they don't have any instruments. But if you go back and find out, because it's their traditions where they were being persecuted and they had to hide in caves in order to have service. So they couldn't have praise and worship like that. They had to sing real low. And did you know the Amish sing? I did not know that. They sing twice in the same day. They get back together in the evening and they have another song service for hours. That was news to me. I knew they liked music. Whatever you think, you find an Amish crew running around, somebody's got a radio somewhere. It may not be theirs, but they find out you got a radio, they are turning it on. Now, granted, they think old Hank is new music. I'm like, wow, man, I ain't heard that in years because my grandpa listened to it. But that's what they like. But it doesn't matter. What does matter is they're praising God. I hope and pray that they start realizing that the lifestyle they're forcing themselves to live doesn't get them to heaven. It's only faith in God. I was explaining this to a man the other day. You're not going to see signs. You're not going to figure it all out and believe God. You got to trust God in faith. That's how salvation is. It's by faith, not by, ooh, Jesus came down. Paul believed in salvation, just not through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ had to come down and smack Paul around a little bit. Pray that you're never in that situation. But when we praise God, we begin to open things. We begin to move things. Open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 150. We're going to do the whole chapter. Is that all right? It's only six verses, by the way. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Folks, I need you to understand, I believe when we take that to its max, praise Him with everything we got. Praise Him with the drums. Praise Him with the electric guitar. Well, they didn't have electric guitars. It says stringed instruments. That's all that it needs to qualify. Praise Him with the violin. Praise Him with the cello. Now, I ain't gonna lie. There's a few of these instruments running around today. You need to figure out how to tune them things. But that's the way they played. You think I'm kidding? Go to a Chinese restaurant. And we're not for certain what's going on at Hong Kong Buffet anymore. Angela and I were the other day, and it was carousel music. I'm like, okay, why? Suddenly the nostalgia just left. I need the ding, 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 that out-of-tune instrument they play. And no, that's not racist. Just any event anybody thinks it is. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath? Then that means you. Your dog can praise the Lord. Maybe that's what he's doing with all that barking. I don't know. David is saying here, as he's wrapping up, this is the very last chapter of the book of Psalms. The very last thing that David said was praise the Lord. And if you follow the book of Psalms, you'll read everything that happened in David's life. The trials he was going through. People coming against him. Things he did that was stupid, and he's realizing it now. And at the very end of it, he says, praise God. As a matter of fact, the last several chapters are about praising God. But this one, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You're going to go through stuff, right? Some of you are facing some obstacles. You're trying to figure out how to get around them. There is no getting around them. Do you understand that? That's why Jesus said, if you have a mountain and you come to it, speak to that mountain that it may move. What are you doing when you speak? You're bringing forth the word of God into existence. Well, I don't know what to tell it. First off, pray in the spirit. Second off, praise God that he led you to this and that you will see the victory. Let's back that up to verse 3, I believe it is. Go up even higher. I'm sorry, second. Let's try that. Praise him for his mighty acts. Lord, I thank you what you have done in my life. I thank you how you saved me. I thank you how you moved in my life. I thank you how you've moved in my children's and times before. What did David do before he attacked Goliath? He remembered everything that he had done and how God brought him through that. And now that God was going to take him from the lion and the bear, and he was going to take him through this giant of a Philistine. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Is God not worthy of praise? He created such a universe that it would blow your mind. I'm sick and tired of people just saying, well, God just spoke it and poof, it all happened. I resist that because God created us in his image. And I don't just speak the things, I build things. I get intricate with it. And if you take even a leaf, a blade of grass, and you can examine it under a microscope, you'll see the intricacies that God took the time to design. God is a master builder. The cells in your body, the things that are in the air right now that you can't see, protons, neutrons, electrons, atoms. What did man do? Man said, I'm going to figure out how to split it and create things to blow up. That's what we did. And we did it. So why is it we think that man is trying to building all this stuff? Somebody had to figure out how to make concrete. Did you think about that? Somebody had to figure that out. Why did they try to figure it out? Because it's in them, it's God's nature in us to try to do that. Some people are gifted at healing. And I'm talking in a natural sense. You got nurses, you got doctors. It's in them to heal. Others, it's in them to build. Others, it's to understand the workings of a machine. A computer will never build itself. We build it. We put rockets in the air. Don't worry about computer robots taking over the world. They ain't going to do it. But our job is to praise God for his mighty acts. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but here I am. Book of Joshua in chapter 6, we learn where Joshua's got his entire camp, nearly 2 million people. Do you know, for 2 million people, the last time I did the check, it took all of Franklin County and most of the surrounding counties touching Franklin to hit 2 million people, based on the latest information I had. 2 million people, and here is Joshua. He's marching across this little river called the Jordan. God says, here's your obstacle. It's a big city. You know, they said they used to race chariots on the top. That's how wide the wall was. You built houses inside it. Rahab the harlot lived inside the walls. You aren't getting through there. No army could get through that. And these people knew that. They had stockpiles of food and water. They were good to go. They didn't have to worry about these meandering Hebrew children. But God said, here's what I want you to do. Walk around it 6 days. Be quiet. Come around on the seventh day. I want you to walk around seven times. Six times, you be quiet. But the seventh time, I want you to blow on them trumpets. I want you to play them guitars. I want you to shout. Now, we don't have any idea what they shouted. I really want to know what they shouted. I probably won't ever know until God reveals all the knowledge to all mankind. But they shouted with a loud voice. You take the, I don't know if it was just the priests that were doing the shouting or if it was the entire army. But I promise you, this group can make noise. An entire battalion of Marines on flat ground, we could shout and sing and we could hear ourselves echoing through the woods. That makes a noise. Imagine 2 million people. Let's say there's only 500,000 of them in the entourage going around that build or that fort. That's what it was, the city. But they shouted. And the Bible says the walls came down and they walked across the top of the walls. We always they didn't crumble. God took those walls and he shoved them down. I believe God took his hands like this and went all the way around. And right there in the middle was this part where Rahab lived. And he shoved those walls down. And the army walked across them. And they took it. They praised the Lord and God moved. Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, chapter 16. They're preaching the word. This little possessed fortune teller goes around telling people that they were men of the Most High to teach them salvation. And she was doing it to be annoying. And finally, my Bible says, Paul, being greatly annoyed, turned around and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he did. Paul and Silas got beat, thrown into prison. That night, it's at around midnight, they began singing hymns to the Lord. What were they singing, folks? They were singing the book of Psalms. They were singing the hymns they knew. They were singing songs like, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his exceeding goodness, his excellence. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. They were singing that, and the Bible says that an earthquake occurred, and it shook the foundation. Paul and Silas weren't just thrown in prison. They were thrown so far in. They were at the foundation of the prison where the sewer ran. And says that the walls were shaken, the doors were shaken open, and such power did the power of God hit that prison that every, not just theirs, everybody's chains came free. Folks, I'm here to tell you, when you praise the Lord, chains fall off, not just yours. The people around you are affected. So that's why I'm trying to get people to understand, you've got to praise the Lord. You've got to, I know we've been raised to be all calm and quiet in the house of the Lord. Why? God never said, I want you to be a bunch of sticks. He said, but if you don't cry out, the rocks will. We have got to shout. I have no problem with shouting. I have no problem about getting excited for who God is and what He's doing. God's moving in your life, shout. And don't tell me you don't, because I've seen you at football games. I've seen you at basketball games. I've seen you do all kinds of things. Shout. Get excited. Is God not worthy? Well, He is worthy. So there, we've established that. You got a problem. The Bible says to be thankful for in everything. Give God thanks. Do you know that's meaning give Him praise? Not for the situation that's at hand. Oh, Lord God, I thank you. I just lost my job and now I have no savings and you know, the bank's been knocking on the door already. I thank you for all of that. I ain't found one person that actually says it, but I've heard people preach that that's what you need to do. When the Bible clearly tells us to praise Him for His, Lord, I thank you that even though I lost my job once, I stood on the ground that you were my provider and not that company. And I had to trust you for every little thing. I don't preach garbage that I don't know. I only preach to you what I've been through. And I've been through it. Jesse and I were talking about this the other day, and I said, I remember telling guys I worked with, I was in a union shop, and they said, you better start saving your money. We're going on strike. I'm like, man, I ain't even been here 2 months yet. Better save your money. We're going on strike. I said, why? It's just because of what we do. And last time they went back for a nickel less an hour. How about we just not go on and just continue this contract? You guys are awful negotiators. But I said, this place is not my provider. God is my provider. So when they handed me my pink slip and said, go to the unemployment office, I got to put my money where my mouth was. And I'm here to tell you, folks, God provided. We had to trust Him. We trusted Him for everything, and God continued to provide. God continues to provide today. That's why we can say, step out. Test, don't test the waters, just get in. God said, take the step. He said, get into the Jordan, get into stinking Jordan. Don't stand around, well, God, I need a sign. You don't want God to give you a sign. God created Marines. And you know what kind of sign a Marine would give you? There's your sign. We need to trust God. We need to praise God. When things aren't going our way, you're not praising God that things aren't going your way. You're praising God for what He's going to do, how He's going to move, the doors He's going to open, the things He will shut. The Bible says, oh, 1,000 may rise by my left, but 10,000 are going to fall by my right. 1,000 at my left and 10,000 at my right. You carry a sword in your right hand, folks. They always, if you're teaching combat on a grand scale, it's right-handed. Okay? Because majority of the population's right-handed. It's uniform. Everybody knows which direction you're pulling your sword from, too. There was a time in life the escorts used to walk on the right-hand side of the officers. Protocol is you walk now left and abreast with the officer. Your officer will be, the senior person will be always to the right. Reason being is the escorts would be following and they'd be wherever they wanted to be. Somebody comes out to kill the officer, the escort would go to pull his sword and he'd cut the officer's leg. So they said, here, go to the left, because we all carried our sword on the left. There was reasons for everything. There's reasons for why God does things a certain way. There's reasons why he tells us to praise him. It's why David spent so much time telling people, praise him, praise him, praise. Make a joyful noise. You don't have to sound like Sandy Patty or Celine Dion. You just got to open your mouth. Well, I don't sound like anybody good. Here's what you need to start telling yourself. I sound like Garth Brooks. Or I sound like Elvis Presley. Tell yourself that. Now, I don't mean you got to try to sing that loud here to make us all hear it. Blend in. We all come in one voice, don't we? It's one voice. It's what I'm trying to tell people when it comes to congregational worship. One voice. I'm telling you right now, folks, the power of God moves through this place when we come together and we praise him and we worship him. That's why he moves in our lives so mightily. But if we cannot open our mouths and praise him, it's because we're stuck. I ain't saying you gotta get up and do everything. I don't get up and dance. I'm standing back here doing this. I don't know what they call it, but it's just a bob. I'm bobbing back and forth. That's it. I told Angela, I said, I wanted to dance at one time. I wanted to try it. And when I drank, I couldn't get drunk enough to dance. So I figured, that's it. God didn't make me to dance. She had to force me to dance at our weddings. Which we didn't actually dance at our wedding, but so I've owed her at every wedding we go to. But even that, it's nothing like you see on Dancing with the Stars. I can promise you that. It's the old high school. Spin in a circle. That's about all you're getting out of me. Not that inside my head I can't move like that. It's just the rest of my body ain't caught up with it. We have to praise him. You want to get through something? Praise him. Well, you just don't know, Pat. It's just an onslaught. Let's get this straight. You are in charge of your life, not other people. You can tell people, hold on. I'm spending some time with God. Your lack of planning doesn't create an emergency on my behalf. If I don't get some time with God, I'm going to tell you wrong. Anybody ever been there? You're just at your wit's end and you're like, just whatever. That's why kids always keep attacking mom and dad. Can I, please, 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 please. They wear you down. And finally you're just, whatever, I don't really care. Well, if you really didn't care, why didn't you say it the first time? You cared. But now they wore you down instead of saying, go away, calmly, go away, let me chew on this. And when I make a decision, I'm done and don't ask again. I've had to do it three different stages. I said no. I got my reasons. But then find out if they keep pushing, I'm like, whatever. But if we will take the time when we're faced with things. Like I said, I know what's going on in a lot of different people's lives right now. You've got to quit worrying. You ain't changing a thing. Not one thing. You've got to trust God. You have got to be obedient to God. And when you let God move, all Joshua had to do was take his people out and walk around the building for a week. Think about that. That's all he had to do. Those people living inside were already bound in fear. They had heard what God had done for Israel on the other side of the Jordan. And now they're moving into their land, their promised land. What's the devil holding you out of because you refuse to praise God? You refuse to thank him. I don't sit and when I sit and I pray to God in the morning, during my times with him, I'm not sitting there, going into Gregorian chants. That's not me. Not happening. I sit there and, God, you know me. I thank you for what you've done for my children. I thank you for what you've done for me, for my congregation, how you're blessing these people. I thank you for that. That's praise, by the way. I was reminded of this song this week. I was listening to Pandora, and I've got it on, I don't remember if it was 80s Christian metal or whatever it was, but Petra. And I'm talking old school Petra, Greg Voles, for those of you that are of that generation. John Schlitt just wasn't, it was like the whole Hagar, David Lee Roth thing with Van Halen. Well, it's kind of like that with me with Petra. John Schlitt wasn't Petra, Greg Voles was. It's what I knew. It's who I saw in concert. But, doesn't take anything away from John. He was a talented and gifted man. But they had a song from the late 70s or early 80s called Let Everything That Has Breath Praise the Lord. And he brought up the exact things I just taught to you. Those examples. When we open our mouths, folks, chains come. The Imperials did a song, Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. And when we praise him, chains fall off. You've got to start thanking God that he's moving on your behalf. And when the obstacle is not removed, you got to say, God, why isn't it moving? Why is this not moving? Is this something I just need to hold my peace and let you work through it? You know, there's timing for things, folks. We want everything. The generation we're raising up right now is being faced with an unfortunate thing, is they've been raised on fast food. Exactly. I want it all, and I want it now. Started in the 80s. What, Vicky, what was it? Less than, how many seconds did you guys have? 25 seconds. Now, if you've gone to the restaurants around here, you know that is not the standard. They had she was the manager of Wendy's. 25 seconds from the time you ordered it to the time you paid and pulled away. That's what we've created. Well, isn't there a computer that can just get this in? You don't even have to type anything now. I can push a little thing on my phone and say, what is the weight of a blue whale? And she'll even tell me the weight of a blue whale. It's nuts. We don't want to spend the time learning. We don't want to spend the time digging in and finding information. Now, I love the internet for doing that, but you got still got to be careful with some of the information you get. Wikipedia, be very careful. I can add stuff to it. Okay? I can tell you whatever I want. You've got to praise the Lord. Well, it didn't happen. Nothing moved right away. Calm yourself down and let God move. As the saying goes, Rome wasn't built in a day. Can God move miraculously on speed things up? Oh, absolutely. But if you aren't patient, by the way, patience is one of those things we're required to have. It's a gift of the Spirit. Patience. And you know what I'll say, what I'm going to say next. Be careful when you're praying for patience. Because you know what's coming tomorrow. Or maybe before you get to that door. We will let God move and God will do what needs to be done. But we've got to praise him for it. Be thankful. Be grateful. Yeah, you're not the praise and worship leader. Doesn't mean you aren't required to praise the Lord. I'm not the praise and worship leader. And yet every time I pray, I hope you're paying attention, I thank God for the day. It's my habit. Nobody taught me to do that. Every time. I don't care if I'm blessing my food. Do you know why I'm thankful for the day? Because I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm thankful. Oh, but brother, wouldn't it be better to be in the sweet by and by with my Jesus? No, because he told me to be here.
So why would I be disobedient and show up for duty at a duty station I haven't been given orders for? When I show up to that duty station, I'm going to have a long career here. However long that needs to be. I don't want to know when I'm going to go. I just don't want to. I want to live every day. I know some people, well, God told me he's going to take me at such and such. Well, you're getting closer to that age. So, yeah. You don't know what it's like to die, do we? Has anybody in here ever died and come back? Okay. Oh. Okay. So we do have one that knows what it's like to die. But you didn't know when, did you? You didn't know when you were going to. Yeah, not ahead of time. If you knew that when you walk out that door, you're dead, would you leave? You're going to say, whoa, God, wait a minute. I need to spend some more time with my grandkids. I need to tell my children I love them. How about you do that every day? I rejoice to see my children. I love seeing my children. I love seeing my grandchildren. I love it. I love to see their lives starting to flourish as they step out and they start spreading their own wings. I love seeing that. Yeah, it's a little saddening. But there's the part of me that remembers being 18 and needing to spread my wings. You got to let go. My parents had to learn that the hard way. They refused to let go. They tried to keep me there. And finally God said, I'm done. You're going to go the way I've been trying to get you to go for a year. I've told you, God, I believe God wanted me to join the Marines a year before. I just wouldn't do it. Everybody, oh, we'll get you a job here. We got you. I got you a job lined up. Every time I get a job, my truck blew up. I can't walk to Columbus. There were no jobs around here. God opposed me at every point until I finally said, that's it. I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to try to do something. You know, one of the things I've been praying for the longest time was a girlfriend. 4 days later, folks, a prayer got answered. Not only was it not just a girlfriend, it was a wife. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I wasn't into all that dating and dating and dating and dating. Well, until I find the right one. Forget that. I'd rather not date. Save my money and spend it on me. I'm going to be honest. I've told all my boys. You can ask them. I said, you want a girlfriend? I know, but girls are expensive. Just saying. Don't deny it, ladies. Yeah, she was a cheap date for a while. I take her to eat, and I'm like, is that all you're eating? I mean, man, a bird can't stay alive on that. I'm sitting over here, Big Mac, all this other stuff, and now I'm down to, I didn't even eat half of a quarter pounder yesterday. Like, well, evidently I'm becoming the cheap date. Praise the Lord. Praise him when things aren't going right. I'm not saying you're thanking him that they're not going right. I say you're thanking him that he's moving in your life. Whatever you're facing, praise him. It's going to happen. Yes. I'm telling you that. You got to stand your ground and praise him. By the way, you remember this little guy named Gideon? Started out with an army of 20,000. He tested God 3 times. Remember? God tested him. Think about it. When you went, well, God, if this is your will, I don't recommend you test God. Bible says don't tempt him. Tempt him or test him. That's what that word means. 300 against 20,000. Now, I'm sorry. You know, Marines are pretty, we're pretty arrogant on the odds. We would say that they still didn't have enough. But it wouldn't look good for 300 Marines against 20,000 terrorists. Not going to be good. The only difference is we know how to shoot. So therefore, we could win. But the odds aren't great, are they? Kind of like the odds of the Kentucky Derby yesterday. 65-1, and he ends up winning. Not good odds. They weren't good odds. But God said, here's what, did you ever pay attention to what they carried down the side of that hill? A torch and a vase and a trumpet. The torch was inside the vase. And some of them carried a trumpet, and they blew the trumpet, and they said, for the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Not one of them had a sword. It said the men turned on each other down below. They were so scared. The fear of the Lord, the men turned on themselves. All they had to do was keep running around with their flashlights. God will move on your behalf, and he'll perform miracles if you trust him and praise him for it. Thank him for his mighty deeds. You need it. You want to get closer in your relationship with God? Start praising him. I'm just telling you. Well, Pastor, I'm just not as emotional as I... You don't have to be a crier. Doesn't mean you love God any more than the guy that doesn't. Doesn't mean God's going to move on you to get out and dance. Doesn't mean that God's going to tell you suddenly get up here and start singing. You just have to do something. Open your mouth. Do you know, and I'm going to stop here with this and then we'll pray. When we would do those long runs, I was with a battalion that for some reason, we had a chip on our shoulder because we were motor transport. Motor transport was always deemed fat and lazy. You don't do that. Anytime you've seen anybody making the caricatures of Marines in Motor T, our covers were tipped back on the back of our head, and our uniforms were sloppy, and covered in grease, and you know, we just couldn't run. Our colonel, they had a group, which include, I forget how many battalions of Marines, how many there were in that group, but each battalion was about 1,000. So there was roughly 10,000 Marines running in this formation. And the reason we sing, by the way, we sing songs that uplift us. Talk about how bad we are. Well, if our parachute should fail, we'll be the first one on the ground hooking in a jabbing. Well, if your parachute fails, you're going to be the first one on the ground, all right. But not in our mind. We were hooking in a jabbing, slashing in a stabbing. Blood makes the grass grow. Which it really does. It's protein. But we would sing those songs to take our mind off the run. And when I would see Marines standing beside me, not singing, I yelled at them. And if you think I'm loud now, when I was in shape and had good lung capacity, I could yell. And I'd yell at Marines and they thought it was the drill instructor in boot camp because they weren't singing. They'd start singing. Because it took our mind off the pain. That group run, Force Service Support Group, 10,000 Marines, that run in and of itself, I forget, was probably about 10 miles. Okay? And it was a contest. I forgot to mention that. We were being judged by how we ran. Formation, how we looked, where we uniformed. Where if one person showed up with the wrong color or different color shorts, a slightly different green, we were gigged. And our battalion had such a chip on its shoulder about being labeled the misfits that we'd get an extra bonus point by running around the entire 10,000 Marine formation. We had to carry a guide on, which was our company, or our battalion, said 8th Motors on it. And we'd carry that. We did that so many times to motivate our troops I think I did it three times. That we won the competition because of that. And I ain't going to lie. I finally figured out after the second one that when the battalion's moving this way and I'm running down with it, just jog in place. You don't have to run to the end of it. The end's coming to you at the same pace. So just let it come to you because you got to run and pass everybody on the other side. But the motivation that it created in our troops to see their NCOs running, and it had to be NCOs. So we had some old guys that didn't do it before, and they only did it one time. But the praise, the singing brought them up and motivated them. You following me? So when we praise God, it motivates all of heaven to move on our behalf. So don't think, well, I just don't feel like praising God. Well, there's moments I don't feel like getting out of bed, but you know what? I got to do it. You just got to get up. Well, if I get up, then it means my day started. So what? It's a moment for you to get God involved. Oh, but you don't know what's going on at work. I don't care what's going on at work. Somebody trying to kill you? No? Then shut up. I know that was real nice, but that's just what came out. So I hope it put it in perspective for you. All right, so we're going to pray. Pat, if you'll bring me, oh, there they are. My wife had them. Is there anybody else that's got one? I'm just familiarizing myself. You don't go to war without first looking at the map.